Hopefully, the cinematic superhero universe will be dead soon. Please, please let it happen. I think many people have recognized that there is a certain pop cultural ubiquity around superhero films at the moment, and has been for about, it feels like decades, but I know that Iron Man, the first one, only came out in 2008. So it's been like 14 years at this. Excuse me, but honestly, it has inspired the worst kind of attitudes towards films as an art form that
I don't understand why these are the films that are most popular. I mean, particularly amongst people who call themselves adults. I mean, aren't you meant to grow out of this sort of thing? Sorry, I know that now, they're popular and everything, and I'm sure there'll be people watching who...
Now, representing the nerd side here, I will offer a counter-argument, which is that, generally speaking, I think that... fun, escapist, action sci-fi can be enjoyed at all ages.
I can wedgie that out of you eventually.
I'd like to see you try, short ass.
We're roughly the same height.
Yeah, but you're slightly shorter, so what's your manners? No. I think they can be fun. I can enjoy superhero films here and there. I just have a real problem with kind of the way that the whole business is structured right now. Mm-hmm. I think Martin Scorsese, I know people criticized him for it a few years ago, but he is kind of right when he said that it's like going to a theme park roller coaster. There's not really that much artistry in a lot of the films. I can enjoy some of them. I recently enjoyed The Batman, which was a standalone, to be fair. It wasn't part of some overarching cinematic universe. And I also enjoyed Spider-Man No Way Home, but that's because it had connections to films from my childhood that I really enjoyed, and also brought Willem Dafoe back. And Willem Dafoe's great in everything.
I like him as an actor. But yeah. My one caveat would be that the Christopher Nolan Batman films with Christian Bale in are really good. But I also like Christian Bale and Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
So can't really go wrong there, can you?
Yeah, but I like the more sort of self-contained narratives within those films. Whereas the whole cinematic universe thing, for me, is a bit overplayed. At this point, everything's trying to be a cinematic universe. Remember when they tried to make a cinematic universe out of The Mummy and all of those films back in 2015, and it collapsed immediately? Johnny Depp was supposed to be the Invisible Man and all that nonsense, and just nobody cared. The only time it seems to have actually worked is with Marvel, and I'm hoping that it won't last that much longer. But yeah, just to get back onto topic, it's inspired these kinds of brainlit takes. Let's take a look at this clip, which I hate.
Has an Avengers movie ever been nominated for Best Picture?
No.
There's no way. Like, why? They're good movies.
Yeah, they're phenomenal movies. It's like they make the most money. Everybody loves them. And here we are with Coda.
Oh, Coda.
Girl in Deaf Family falls in love with guy who can hear.
Oh, that sounds really, really fun. As opposed to a man who can like chop people's limbs off with fucking time portals.
What's the movie with the dude? He's like a metal drummer and he's going deaf.
The Sound of Metal.
It was pretty good.
It was boring.
Yeah, but...
It's good. It's boring. Why do we want to be bored so bad? There's so much we can make, bro. We have special effects up the wazoo. We can make anything we want. Why are we watching a guy going deaf? That's boring. Like, make him go deaf and have, like, but he gains the ability to fly. Why do we want to be bored so bad?
Yeah, listen to the guy with a patchy handlebar mustache about high culture, why don't you?
Yeah, but it just shows this kind of attitude that people have towards films nowadays, which is one that I hate, which is like, those guys are the soy jacks, right? They are the actual soy jacks. Oh, look at this special effect, you know, like that. Big explosion, make me go, wow, you know. Whereas it's like, you know, you see a film that's talking about maybe exploring subjects to do with deeper subjects, you know, like to do with family, like internal struggles, like the film they described there, The Sound of Metal, where it's like the guy is playing the drums and he's going deaf. That actually sounds like an interesting internal conflict that someone would go through. And he's just like, it's boring. I hate that attitude. And it's become very prevalent, sadly. Or maybe it's always been there.
This is the kind of person that I imagine when I imagine your typical superhero universe fan.
Yeah.
Like, just an adult baby, just like... I want to see people punching each other, and that's it. I don't want anything else.
If it's not got explosions, why do I care?
I mean, I do like explosions. I like punching people in explosions. However, I don't want it to be the whole of the film.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, as somebody who has enjoyed plenty of these films over the years, those are the sorts of people that make me embarrassed to enjoy them. But one of the things that I'm trying to look at is... is the fact that it seems that some of the enthusiasm towards these kinds of superhero films, at least within the cinematic universes where everything has to connect, no film can just be like a full story in and of itself. It has to connect to 13 years of films that came before it and has to set up the next 10 years of films that are going to come ahead, seems to, hopefully, fingers crossed, either be failing or on the way out. Because I'm hoping that this is going to be something that will slowly start to die. For instance, The Batman, which is a standalone film. I think it's setting up a trilogy, but it will be a self-contained trilogy. It's not connected to the DC universe outside of that. Had a budget of $100 million. I don't know how much you know about film production.
That's not massive, but it's pretty large. Like there's been much larger budgets.
It's pretty large, but for a big name film like Batman, it's relatively small when you consider stuff like the Eternals and stuff like that had like budgets in excess of $200 million. The other thing you need to consider, especially when you're looking at films and budgets and then their box office that they take after that to try and determine whether they were profitable or not, is that the rule of thumb is you take the budget of the film and then you double it to account for marketing, because studios and production companies spend millions and millions of dollars on marketing, because you're not going to spend $100 million on a film and then have it so that nobody even knows that it's going to come out. But they had $100 million budget, supposedly. Let's say that's probably about $200 million overall. The box office worldwide, if we can go to the next link, scroll down a bit, we've got domestic box office of $350 million, so that's already exceeded it. Worldwide box office of $713 million, which is pretty good. That's going to be $500 million, half a billion in profits there, and it's only just recently come out, so that's done all right. And to be fair, I saw it recently, I enjoyed it. It's not like your typical superhero film that you see nowadays. It tried very explicitly to be like a thriller. You know, mm-hmm. like inspired very heavily by David Fincher films like Seven.
Okay, I really like Seven. So
yeah, so you might enjoy it if you were to go see it, for mm-hmm. instance. But it was actively trying to not be a generic Marvel style film. And of the other DC films that are out there right now, which includes the DC Extended Universe, hopefully that will fail as well, because that was always pretty terrible, if we're perfectly honest. Let's move along to the next one. Someone's pointed out on here, Price of Reason, Warner Brothers have placed all their chips on Amber Heard and Ezra Miller after kicking Johnny Depp, Henry Cavill, Ray Fisher, and Ben Affleck to the curb. Will this gamble pay off? And this is in reference to the fact that Amber Heard from Aquaman and Ezra Miller, who's playing The Flash, are like the two of the biggest names mm-hmm. in the franchises right now. And all these other huge names that people have a lot of respect for, like Johnny Depp, Henry Cavill, Ben Affleck, have just completely gone. And Amber Heard, I think we all know about Amber Heard. I don't really need to explain Amber Heard. But it seems that Ezra Miller might not be a particularly bankable star for the future as well, because he's been getting into a bit of trouble, which is not good for the studio. So recently he was arrested in Hawaii for physically confronting karaoke bar patrons. And then I got all this from an article here. You can look this up. Immediately following the karaoke bar incidents where Miller screamed obscenities at a woman before grabbing a microphone from her and lunged at a man playing darts, the actor was hit with a restraining order from a couple who were staying with in Hawaii, who claimed that Miller broke into their bedroom, stole some of their personal belongings, and threatened to kill them. The article also revealed that Miller had frequent meltdowns on set during filming of The Flash last year, although none of them violent outbursts, an insider claimed that the actor was losing it.
And it sounds like it to me.
It really does. So with these kinds of bankable, well-loved stars as the forefront of the DC Extended Universe, hopefully that will die as well. And let's take a look as well, because once again, I've referenced the whole cinematic universe thing. Let's take a look at what Marvel has planned for Phase 4 and whether any of these films interest any of you. If they do, good for you. They don't really interest me. As far as I'm concerned, after Endgame, I don't care. I enjoyed some of the Spider-Man films, but I just don't care about anything outside of that because, I mean, Spider-Man is Spider-Man. I enjoy Spider-Man. But they have Black Widow, which came out in 2021, didn't care. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, didn't care. Eternals, no one cared about that. Spider-Man, eh, all right. Doctor Strange, eh. Thor, Love and Thunder, coming out in July, eh. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, the main actor is dead, so I've no idea what they're going to do with that. The Marvels, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Maybe Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Don't, I mean, who cares about Ant-Man at this point? And then the Fantastic Four, because, you know, the first films that they made about the Fantastic Four went so well the first time.
Wasn't it a massive flop?
Well, there were the two from the mid-2000s, which both got trashed by critics.
I think those are the ones I'm thinking of, yeah.
Well, there was the Fant Four Stick, which was the big reboot that Fox did in 2015, which suffered massively from production issues and lots of problems, and then just turned into a terrible film. And I think in the process of trying to make the film, the director who did it has only made one film since, because he basically got blacklisted from the industry. So Fantastic Four's got a great track record to go from, but just ask yourself, can you be asked to keep up with all of these films and the continuity between all of these?
Because
these
I actively avoid them, to be honest.
These will all actively play into one another, and then there are the TV series that are part of Disney Plus to take account of as well. Why would I care enough to watch all of these films and then probably another 50 hours of television on top of that, just so I can understand what's going to happen in the next Ant-Man film?
Well, there are so many good directors out there that are making standalone films that are actually more interesting, as in they actually tackle things that are beyond the scope of a child.
I mean, I mentioned Willem Dafoe at the beginning, a film that he was in relatively recently, The Lighthouse by Robert Eggers.
Robert Eggers, a great film.
Very much looking forward to seeing whatever he puts out next, because The Witch and The Lighthouse, both fantastic films, very good, looking forward to it. Whereas most of the time they'll get the sorts of directors like Eggers, the independent directors who have maybe only ever worked with maybe a budget of $10 million at most, and go, here's The Eternals, here's $200 million, make a hit. These directors aren't prepared for it, they don't know what they're doing, and it ends up being terrible. And I've mentioned the TV shows, the Disney Plus shows have ridiculously expensive budgets, $25 million an episode for something like WandaVision. So, and that was, what, 9 episodes? So that's almost $250 million for the show. Disney Plus does have lots and lots of subscribers, so I'm sure they're making up the costs, but it'll be one of those things where, is it worth it? And plus, WandaVision sucked. I watched it. It was terrible.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, probably best to keep it that way. And now let's look at the actual box office of some of the more recent ones. One of the ones that was considered possibly a bit of a success when it came out, or at least for pandemic times, was Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which, as you can see here, had a worldwide box office of $342 million. Sounds respectable. But they had an estimated budget of about $150 million, and doubled that, $300 million, and the profit on that is starting to look less respectable when we're in an era where if a film makes less than $1 billion, you're questioning whether you want to continue with it. Then we've got The Eternals, a film that nobody cared about, and I don't know anybody who saw it, with a worldwide domestic box office of $402 million at a reported budget of $200 million. So if that's to be believed, they've probably only made about $2 million on that whole film, making the whole thing a complete waste of time. And then the most recent one that's come out that's not even Marvel, it's Sony, was Morbius, part of the Amazing Spider-Man universe. It's hard to keep track of these, which had a budget of $75 million and a current worldwide box office of $88 million. So they've actively lost money on this so far. It's even turned into a meme that nobody cares about this film. Nobody wanted to see it. It's Jared Leto. The only films I like seeing Jared Leto in are the ones when horrible things happen to him, like American Psycho and Fight Club, Requiem for a Dream, very cheery films. Yeah, he's not exactly looking like a bankable star. Nobody cared about this. So as far as I can tell, hopefully this, along with other things, is suggesting that even if audiences, because Spider-Man made over almost $2 billion, these studios can still bank on the reliable stars, but they're finding it more and more difficult to get audiences to care about new heroes and new franchises that can be sort of branched off from
it. Probably because they're telling the same story in the same way over and over again.
Well, I would say that it's because, you know, they're obscure characters, but even when, back in 2008, Iron Man started, Iron Man was like a C-list superhero back then, and they managed to turn him, along with the performance from Robert Downey Jr., into this huge success story.
I did quite enjoy that film. I was quite surprised when I saw it.
I would say Iron Man has a different tone and style to the rest of the MCU. After that point, it starts to get a lot more, I don't know, production line feeling, whereas that had a sense of style and time and place that I think is missing from some of the other ones. But yeah, they made success out of it, out of these C-list heroes. They made Guardians of the Galaxy a success, for God's sake. But with these newer ones, no one really cares. And I think, hopefully, it's either a sign that the quality has been deteriorating, which it absolutely has, or the audiences are tired of this, and we're just waiting for this to die properly so we can go on to the next big Hollywood trend that hopefully we can all ignore, and hopefully the Hollywood industry will just collapse in on itself like some kind of quantum hole or something. So I guess we'll see what happens, but hopefully superhero cinematic universes will be dead soon.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as this video, The Politics of American Psycho, between Harry and Thomas here. And if you want to follow what Harry's putting out, you can also follow him at Getter, of course, at Harry Lotus Eater on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.